balls out there. No wife, no kids, just reeling them fish and twisting them lids. Got a good one on, that's my kind of fun. No time for talking, cause I gotta run. When you get tired of what your life's been dishing, just think of that saying, I'd rather be fishing. A bad
welcome
day of fishing
to
is
Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz, who's in our other studio down in Baja California, sir, in the beautiful city of La Paz. And we also have Steve Hartigan on the line with us. And Steve is, works with McCoy Fishing Line, which is, I believe, Steve, it's made in America equipment. Is that right?
Yeah, John. Hey, yeah. Thanks for having McCoy Fishing on. All of us here at McCoy appreciate it. And yes, for the last 75 plus years, we've been pride ourselves in American-made products, an American-made fishing line. We're located here in Lake Havasu City, Arizona.
That's great.
And Steve, you don't even sound 75 years old on the phone.
Yeah, I feel like it, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't tell a lot of people that.
I won't.
How you doing, Steve?
Doing fine. It's got to be 100 and something out here, and we're just working away.
Okay. Well, Steve, McCoy covers the range with what we'd normally call mono, which and I believe what you use is a copolymer.
And that is correct.
And then, of course, the fluorocarbon. But what I'd like to do, I think there's a lot of misunderstanding and maybe some misconceptions about the spectra or what it goes by different names and different brand names or the micro braid. And I know that when it first came out, there was a lot of resistance to it, but it's not the same as it was when it first came out. So let's talk about that a little bit. First of all, how is it made and what is it?
Yeah, not a problem. We call ours a super spectra braid, and so obviously it's made with spectra fibers. We've recently come out with a new and improved version, so no, it's not the same as the older stuff, if you will, that people have used. We can now weave this stuff under really high tension, which allows all the fibers to be more compact, which allows the line to be a smaller diameter, stronger, but more importantly, probably compared to the old stuff, is rounder.
Mm-hmm.
The other benefits of doing that is by making it tighter, and just to back up, we coat our line when the line's done. It's already been colored. We put a coating on it, which not only helps retain that color, so we use a pretty dark green, which seems to be favored by the anglers out there. And the color retention lasts way longer, but it also goes a lot quieter through the guides, which is one of the number one complaints we get. We hear out in the field, can you make a quiet line? We've done that. Another thing that does is eliminate what we call the fuzzies or the felt, whatever comes off on our competitors' lines. You can run your fingernail along it. You should get nothing at all, really. And so none of it sticks in the guides. None of it should dirty up your reels.
Well, I think that the obvious thing is because the diameter of the line for its strength is probably the biggest single use for it, where you can have a reel that instead of carrying 300 yards, you can carry 600 yards or more.
Yeah, a lot of guys, I'll speak for freshwater, particularly like that feature because they can, if they can only get a 10-pound diameter, like say mono on a reel, they can now pack that thing and use a stronger line because they can get it thinner.
You know, Steve, I hate to interrupt you there, but that's one of the things that Charles and I have found. You know, before you had to have these giant reels to handle. I mean, you could never think about fishing for, nice marlin without a 50. I mean, you'd want a 50 reel. And now you can actually do a 20, or you can even use, like we do, a spinning rod and reel. Because of the braided line, we can get so much on that we can actually fight with light tackle, which before we couldn't do because we couldn't support that run.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, say, a 200-pound test spectra braid that we make, that's the equivalent of like a 40-pound mono. So you know, you can really get a ton of strength and a lot, just pack that thing through. And I know some of you guys, I think, John, you were saying they actually match up the pound test but then increase the reel holding power.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the manufacturers are actually building reels designed for that now, where they've got smaller reels that have a lot more drag and fighting capacities. And instead of weighing 5 pounds, you know, they weigh 2 pounds.
Yeah, you know, just to keep going along the path of the braided line, I have guys that fish offshore that tie leaders off of these things. Some guys just use straight braid. Braid in itself floats, so a lot of guys use it for fast reaction baits or topwater stuff, where fish don't care what color the line is. And speaking of color, we make a red. I can do a red, a metered braid, an orange, a yellow. We do green. We can cover all aspects for all anglers.
You know, I'm really, Steve, really excited to get out here and try some of that on the big marlin, your stuff on it. Like I said, I like to fish a spinning rod in Rio now and get some of your braided line on that. I just think we're just going to kick butts what we're going to do.
It's gotten some good reviews, and we have guys on some of the big tournament trails that are winning. And two or three, I think, are going to make the classic. And I know they use, my fluorocarbon. They use my braid and a combination of both. So,
you know, the other thing that I might like to add, you know, I bass fish a lot over in the inland. And, you know, when you use a bait cast reel, you know, those backlashes and rat's nest and bird's nest, you know, you get with mono, you hardly ever get that with braided line.
You know, and that's an excellent point, because what happens with our new weaving technology is it makes it compact, which makes it rounder, which if you spool it correctly, you'll eliminate all that. And a lot of guys put electrical tape for backing, and then they you can even use mono, it doesn't matter, but you got to give that braid something to bite in and spool it up, you know, nice and tight, and you should not have an issue. A lot of guys don't realize that, especially when they're fishing freshwater, with braid, you don't have to set that hook so hard. And that's generally what causes that line to bite down in, and you don't realize it until a couple of casts later.
Mm-hmm. Steve, I know that when it first came out, this type of line, there was a lot of resistance to it. Part of the problem was that it was kind of flat, and it would stack up on itself in the reel. And, you know, it would be, I remember one time in particular some years ago, and, you know, I'm still learning how to do it, and it, you know, it kind of pulled down on itself, and I lost a big salmon because of that. You know, just all of a sudden it just stopped.
Yeah, the direction everything is going, and then what we're doing, obviously, is trying to make a more compact, rounder line to eliminate some of that, but part of that falls on the angler.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to remember that the hook set is going to be instantaneous, because there's no stretching braid. As if you're used to using a copolymer or a mono, there's no forgiveness there. You're going to set that hook, and it's probably going to tear it through the fish's mouth. But what also happens is, if you don't back off on your drag, and you're used to, and you keep it at the setting you would use your mono or your copoly, that will also cause that to bite down.
Okay.
You know, another thing,
there's no forgiveness in the line.
I'd like to add is fishing circle hooks. It's fantastic, the braided line over anything. You know, it's great on the circle hook.
Yeah, just start testing.
Just reel.
We've got less than a minute, but do you recommend a top shot of copolymer or fluorocarbon when you're using that?
You mean along with the braid?
Yes.
Yeah, most of my guys will throw a fluorocarbon leader off of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they find works, and that way, if they're fishing deeper, the color of the braid doesn't matter, because they're going to have that fluorocarbon leader, which is crystal clear, coming off the side. So McCoy Fishing makes, you know, fluorocarbon for that. You know, we make the braid, and we make the copolymer.
Well, I can say that if you've tried it when it first came out some years ago, you might want to try it again, because it's different than it used to be.
Yes, it is.
Steve, we appreciate you coming on. We'd like to do that again, and maybe next time we'll find out, you know, how to tie knots in these things.
Right on. Thank you for your time.
All righty. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan with the Grizz. We're going to come right back with Chucky at Palmas de Cortez. So we'll be right back with you.
West Marine is America's favorite boating supply source. They've got thousands of items to keep your boat looking good and running like new. West Marine has an incredible selection of apparel and footwear for all your adventures on land and sea. Boats, motors, screws, fittings, the latest electronics, fishing gear, apparel, and friendly, knowledgeable staff. With locations nationwide, West Marine has all you need for fun on the water. Call 1-800-BOATING or log on to westmarine.com to locate the store nearest you. World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort, the Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja, on the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
They're in the water, look at them shine. There goes a big one, that one of mine. Play out my reel now, just how I feel now. Look to my fly rod, I got me a trout.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz, and we have Chucky Van Wormer on the line with us from Van Wormer Resorts. Chucky, have you had a good season so far?
Oh, my God, yeah. There's really, really nice. John, the fishing is really, really in now. 2.5 miles from La Ribera, 7 miles from the hotel. Marlin, stray marlin, lots of them, blue marlin. The tuna also hit this week three times with a nice high tuna. Of course, they're running up and down the area. But yeah, it's been really nice. It's been raining on and off, and it's green, nice. Mm-hmm. Right now it's kind of like raining this morning a little bit, but it's beautiful. There's a little disturbance in the Pacific, but nothing that affects us. So it's, the fishing-wise, it's really good.
Well, everything right now, Chucky, is good because it looks like a whole new different part of the world. It's green.
I know.
I mean, it's green. You look like you're in the jungle. You say, what happened to Baja California? The desert's gone. It's incredible, no, isn't it?
Yeah, beautiful. Everywhere you look, it's green, nice. So it's a whole different, like maybe we're in Hawaii.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly right. That was really good put. Mm-hmm. And the sailfish I hear is really good right now, too.
Oh, yeah. It's been steady on the same exact area. Same exact area, Punta Colorada, right in front, 2.5, 3 miles. So it is just, and lots of Dorado, too, not far away. And the schools of tuna, just out maybe 20 miles, 30 miles, not that far away also. So it's been really steady and very good, John. So it's, I mean, the water is hot. The fishing is hot. The weather is kind of cooling off. So I think it's really a good opportunity to come down here and have a great time.
Well, yeah, Chucky, you know, I always said it's hot, you know, in August, but the fishing's hot, too. August and September, the people should just get up, get in a plane or a car or whatever, and get down there and fish with you guys. Because now is when you have a chance of getting a grand slam in one day, as I did last year with you.
Yes, indeed so, yeah. That is the opportunity right now when we can get all of the billfish in the same area and really close to the shore. Lots of bait also. So
well, Chuck,
really
a lot of time people are afraid to go down in September and even October because of a possibility of a hurricane. But you know, I've been down there during a hurricane, but it's really not that big of a deal. You just got to go when you can go. And you know, the reason you have hurricanes is because the water is warm, and when the water is warm, that's when the fishing's the best.
Right, you know, and indeed, and that is what's happening right now. I mean, with the technology right now, the satellites that we have and everything,
yeah,
you can predict exactly where the storm's going to show up, and if not, then, you know, it is really, it's not unpredictable, it's very predictable, and, you know, I can tell you, and I can almost assure you that in a week time, nothing's going to happen down here.
Right.
There is a little disturbance, but, you know, and a little bit of rain, nothing that it's, you know, that can hurt you.
Well, normally they move through pretty quick, and all you do is lose 1 or possibly 2 days fishing.
Yeah, but you know what is it's the thing of it is, you know, I kind of live down here all the time now. It's worth it. I mean, to have fish like Chucky's talking about, and which I experience too down here all the time, to be able to catch tuna, dorado, marlin, sailfish in the same day, I mean, my God, where in the world can you go and do that?
Chucky, if somebody wants to come down and visit with you, I know that I've got your phone number memorized. You can always go to fishtalkradio.com and check on it for his Van Wormer Resorts. But if they want to give you a call, the number is?
877-777-TUNA.
877-777-TUNA. Thank you, Chucky. That's great, and we'll let you get back to your fishing.
Okay, talk to you later, buddy.
Okay. Oh, now we are going to talk to Rich at St. Croix Rods, which I believe is another company that their equipment is made in the United States primarily. And let's find out a little bit about St. Croix Rods and talk to Rich. And maybe we can kind of focus in on one particular thing. I'm not sure what it is, but, you know, let's see what we can learn about fishing rods, Rich.
John, how are you today?
It just keeps getting better, doesn't it?
It does.
We need to do, I suppose you heard Chucky down there, what we need to do is get you and some of your rods down there and hook up with some of this stuff.
I'm ready. I'm waiting on you down here. Just come down.
Yeah, you know, I've been there 3-4 times looking for you. I can never find you. You must be out on the boat.
I generally am, but you got to call first and make an appointment.
Rich, let's talk a little bit about your fishing rods and maybe some of the trends that's been happening in the fishing rods. You know, one of the things that I've noticed is that I guess fiberglass rods have been, what, around since the 50s, 60s?
And, yes, they have. Started out as solid glass, which was a pultrusion process, and then ground to a specific taper. And then after that, tubular glass
and
came onto the scene. But, yeah, you're talking 50s.
But, you know, and I've still got some rods that are pretty old that are fiberglass that I really like. And then the trend was going to the carbon fiber and some of the more exotic stuff. But it seems like the fiberglass rods are making a comeback, and people still like them.
They are. You know, it was about the early 70s when graphite or also known as carbon fiber came onto the scene, and it really, you know, once that got there, it really took off and really kicked fiberglass out of the game for the most part, with the exception of saltwater gear, heavy boat rods, things of that nature. That always remained the composition of glass and sometimes glass and graphite, depending on the brand. But glass really took a back seat for a number of years, but slowly has made a comeback, and specifically it's still in the salt market, which it always has been, but really has come back over the last, say, 5-6 years and gotten really popular again in the bass market, specifically for throwing crankbaits.
Well, I think it is more forgiving, and, you know, the like I said, the carbon rods, they're extremely sensitive. But, but, you know, I had at one time I was just kind of checking the flex on it, and the thing exploded in my hand.
Yeah, and that's the main difference of properties between glass and carbon fiber. Glass has the ability to stretch in return. Carbon fiber will stretch to a certain degree, and then it will go through a process called micro-buckling, in which the fibers on the bottom side of the blank will start to shatter, and then you have catastrophic failure after that. Glass is stretchier, softer. That's where those properties come into play. But, you know, it's much better suited for a crankbait, which will let that bait impart the action that it's designed to, let that fish grab that bait, close its mouth, start to turn away before you can physically yank it and get a hook set on it. Carbon fiber, because of the sensitivity, the first tick you feel, you want to yank it. You want to set the hook. Results in typically what happens a lot of times then on that back treble hook, you get one of the trebles in a lip on a bass, and that's it. And then maybe she stays pinned, maybe she doesn't. But glass rods, your hookup percentage is much higher.
So, well, I would assume that you make both.
We do.
Okay.
We do.
And
we make tons of carbon blanks for bass fishing, and then we have specific fiberglass blanks in different lengths, actions, powers, designed for, you know, shallow running, lipless cranks, all the way to the DB20s, 25s, you know, your real deep running stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you when you've got a big fish on the line and you've got it, excuse me, pointed up to the sky, but the tip is pointed towards the water,
mm-hmm.
and that, I guess that it gives it the flex so that if there's a head shake or what it is, the rod will flex. So does that make sense? Is that one of the reasons
it does make perfect sense? You know, mm-hmm. the rod acts like a great big shock absorber and will take on some of that stress.
Mm-hmm.
That fish will stay pinned longer. You get better odds of getting her in the boat.
Well, are you saying then that for someone's going to be doing offshore fishing, you'd probably recommend the fiberglass?
Depends on the style of offshore. You know, if they're doing the heavy boat rod stuff, yeah, mm-hmm. then definitely glass is the best for that. And there's two types of glass. There's what's called E-glass, which stands for electrical glass, and that's the most common. And then there's S-glass, which stands for high-strength glass. S is a little bit lighter, has a little bit higher tensile strength than E-glass, so it's better suited for...
I like that rod a lot better when I'm fishing big tuna or big marlin.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's perfect for that kind of stuff. And that's why it's always been in that arena. Glass has always ruled that arena. We do carbon boat rods. They're very lightweight, but they are very stiff. So,
is there such a thing as a blend?
Yes, we do that too. We do that too. If we need to stiffen up a fiberglass blank, we'll put carbon fiber on the inside of the blank where it's very well protected. And what you'll get then is you'll get stiffness in that section without much additional weight.
Hmm.
Is that like for fishing 80s and 130s?
Pardon me?
Is that what you would use for fishing 80s and 130s?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. And then go down to the 650 and 40 on the other type, right?
Yeah, that's where you could just stay with straight glass. But then when
yeah.
we get into the heavier stuff, that's when we'll start to interject some carbon fiber in there to use as stiffener.
Very interesting. Well, it looks like we're just about out of time again, Rich. This is very, very informative. And you are St. Croix, so it's STCROIX rods?
Correct.
Okay. So
yep.
StCroixRods.com to find out. I know you've got probably hundreds of different types in your arsenal. And they're made in the United States, and I believe you also have a plant in Mexico, right?
We do. Yes,
okay.
We do.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, Rich, that was great. We learned a lot. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan with the Grizz, and Rich from St. Croix Rods. We appreciate you coming on, and we're going to be right back with you.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
For more than a century, sport fishermen have led the charge for conservation. From trout to marlin, anglers have worked to protect our natural resources and establish successful programs that benefit fish and fishermen. Today, this legacy is at risk unless we step up and lead the fight for real world conservation. That's what the Sport Fishing Conservancy is all about, doing what's best for fish and fishing and making sure anglers get the credit we deserve. Check out the Sport Fishing Conservancy and find out how you can help at sportcon.org.
Five fishing poles, one for every fish. Gonna get my dinner from the clear deep water.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz, and we have the lovely Mandy from Lake Shasta that's going to give us a end of the season report on how the summer went for you, Mandy.
Yeah, hi, Mandy.
Hi, Grizz. How are you?
I'm fine. Awesome. I didn't get to fish with you this year, but maybe next.
For a birthday in June.
Okay. Well, Mandy, now that the Labor Day weekend is pretty much come and gone, and I guess we're going to be able to take back the lake from all the tourists?
Absolutely. Now all the scared fish are going to come back in for us locals to take.
Oh, okay. Hey, Amanda, you got such a soft voice. Could you try and speak up? We can barely hear you.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Well, the you had kind of an interesting year. You had a bunch of fires, and but all in all, it looks like it's been looking good, and this is a good time of the year to go up there, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it almost is like overcast, so fish come up to the top of the lake so we can get them. It's not so sunny out. It's nice out.
Okay. And I know that you've got all the facilities up there for people to come on up. And if they want to come up, maybe just kind of pop in to get a boat or a campground, or there's plenty to do up there. They just have to show up, right?
Yeah, right now, we're on a first-come, first-served basis. And all the major marinas, I think some of them closed, but you still have a couple that stay open, so you can come up and get a boat and go out on the lake.
Okay. And what kind of fish do you pull out of the lake this time of the year?
I think most people are bass fishing, and I know tournaments are going to be starting to hit here pretty quick, and trout's a good one too that people are getting.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's certainly a beautiful area. Even if you don't get on the water, just being in that area is well worth the trip. But if you can get on the water, you've got some great boats, and you make it so easy. You just have to, get on there, step on. Everything's taken care of for you.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, 7 boat ramps makes it a little easy.
And if someone wants to come visit with you, what do you suggest? How do they get in touch with you?
They can call me, or they can get on ShastaTrinityCamping.com. All of my information's on there.
Okay. That's ShastaTrinityCamping.com.
Yep.
Perfect. Thank you, Mandy. That was great.
Great, Mandy. We'll talk to you again.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to go now to John, who was one of the operators of Fishhound, which is one of the most successful fishing websites in the world and growing like crazy. And if you want any fishing reports from anywhere, you've got how many different people do you have reporting, John?
We've got about 1,500 plus pro staff made up of guide services, tackle shops, boat captains, and outfitters, all equipped with the information to give you a great time out on the water.
Well, I suspect that you've probably got some information. If you've got 1,500 people out there, now that we've got the Labor Day weekend, this just about behind us now, what is going on, and what do you recommend for people if they want to get out of the water?
Well, first and foremost, stay hydrated and keep that sunscreen on. As summer wears down, the heat stays up, so get out there early and make sure your skin's safe.
Okay, and is there any particular part of the United States that you recommend?
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about Texas today.
Okay.
They say everything's bigger in Texas, and that couldn't be any more true when it comes to fishing. Let's start out at Falcon Lake out in Texas. Is steady at 40 feet low as of late August. Water temperature is still around 86 degrees. Amistad is releasing water, which has slowed down the rate of fall here at Falcon. But what is really needed is a good old non-damaging hurricane to bring some of that water level up. The shallow bite is from 4 to 12 feet and continues to dominate. Shallow cranking rocks and old houses are producing good fish early in the morning. Then again, in late afternoons, and midday is dominated by flipping and cranking in the hardwood for the suspended fish.
Okay.
And if we moved over to another really popular lake in that area, the Sam Rayburn, this lake is about a foot low with little rain is expected for the next few weeks, so it should keep bringing the water levels back up. With the water level falling, this will really help out the bass fishing, though. Fish has been showing up on the edge of the hay and pepper grass. Once the sun comes up over the pine trees, then it's time to pick up your plastic worms. The best color to target has been green pumpkin, red plum, and red bug. And these fish are going to be coming up from 12 anywhere from 12 to 6 feet of water. And then wrapping it up, another popular lake is Lake Fork. Mostly great for bass, and the bass fishing out there has been really good all season. Lots of bass coming out of deep water, 20 to 30 feet, catching a lot using drop shots with red finesse worms. A midday bite is getting better with some good catches around bridge columns on drop shot rigs as well. I'd recommend the Jackal clone fried. They're getting some really good bites around the grass as well, using topwater baits, spinner baits, and worms. And if bass isn't your taste over at Lake Fork, the white bass, the crappie, the catfish also have been doing really well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, the Sierras are always good this time of the year.
I'm sorry, where?
The Sierras.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. The Sierras are always good from opener till about October, November.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because because of the altitude, you don't get as long a season as you get almost everywhere else, because a lot of the lakes don't even thaw out until June.
That's true.
And any reports from saltwater from east or west or Florida?
Nothing that really caught my eye this week. I would stay tuned until next week. It looks like with a lot of the hurricane warnings and issues on the east coast, it is affecting fishing at the moment, but should bring out some good bay fish and movement along the coast after that clears through.
Well, everything's happened down here in the Baja. That's where it's all happening.
Grizz knows. He's seen it every day, right?
Everybody should come this way.
Well, we're getting some weather down there, too. John, how long does it take for things to clear up and start fishing good again after you get a storm going through?
You know, it's hard to tell. Depending on structural damage in and around shorelines, it can really move a lot of stuff up. So it takes a lot of time for sediments to settle and for the ecosystem to get back into that groove.
Mm-hmm. So it mucks up the water and you have to wait for it to clear up. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. Right now I wouldn't recommend fishing in Louisiana. You may get swept away, but...
That ain't no lie.
I'd give it a month or so before everything goes back to normal, but that's not to say that conditions like that might be an opportune place in time to catch something different or to use a different technique.
Well, in Louisiana right now, just open up the door and you probably can't get the fish swim in.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad what's happened again there. Poor people. You know, going through hell again.
And what about your part of the country, John? Where are we talking to you from?
Well, I'm calling in from northern Los Angeles area in California.
Uh-huh.
I'll be out at Castaic Lake all weekend and trying to catch a few lunkers before the bass season wears down.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great lake for big ones.
You know, the thing of it is bass season kind of goes down up there, but right now, and next month, the end of next month, we'll start going into our great bass fishing down here in Mexico.
So get the,
come on down. It's getting good. It starts getting good, really good next month. It's good now, but you can't stand the heat to be out there with the deer flies and the mosquitoes killing you in the sun. But in about another 3-4 weeks, it's going to be great. Catch you one of those 12, 13, 14 pounders.
Oh, wow.
Grizz, if you want to drive down there, was it to San Juan, or how far, if you're coming down from Arizona or from Texas, lakes that you can access by driving down?
Sure, there sure is. I mean, to be honest with you, and I don't like to talk about this, but from Texas, I wouldn't drive into Mexico right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exactly a place I want to be. In fact, I'm not fishing over there because of that. But if you come down from Arizona, you can go over to Sonora or Sinaloa, and there's great fishing there. You've got the best lakes in the world are over in that area to drive out in Nogales. You could drive down without any problems whatsoever. for bass fishing. Now, if you want to drive out of TJ, drive straight down, in 9.5 hours, you go to a place where they're catching giant groupers right now, 200 to 300 pound groupers. So that's a nice place to go. About 9 hours, it'd take you directly out of San Diego.
Okay, and where is that?
It's called Punta Arietos.
Okay.
Just anybody that wants to go there, get a hold of John at Fish Talk Radio or to me, and we'll help you get down there. It's really good right now.
Okay, John, we're going to have to let you go. Let's just give a quick plug for Fishhound. If anybody wants to find out about where they want to go fishing, no matter where you are in the United States, the website is?
www.fishhound.com.
That's an easy one, fishhound.com. Okay, thank you, John. Grizz, we appreciate having you on. As always, you're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hannigan in studio with the Grizz and John from Fishhound.